Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join My Lowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is Jack's Journal, an in-depth look at issues that affect you and your community.
Welcome to another episode of Jack's Journal, brought to you by 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. I'm your host, Shefalika Botnagar, and today I have the very special honor of being joined by Dean Nick Allard, who is the founding dean of Jacksonville University's College of Law. How are you doing today?
Terrific. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be here, Shefalika. Thanks for having us, and great to see you again after being at our opening ribbon cutting.
It's great to see you, too. It was a really special day to see the ribbon cutting for the founding day of the school, and the mayor was there and the students were there. It was a really lovely experience.
Yeah. What was your reaction to the students? Because you got to spend some time and see them.
The Fabulous 14. That's right. So the Fab 14, for our listeners who may not know, is the inaugural class of the College of Law's first-year students, and they are 14 young people, bright, intelligent, grounded, sweet individuals. And they are, you know, 7 women, 7 men. They are diverse in their backgrounds. Most of them are from the Jacksonville or Florida or Georgia area. And out of the hundreds of applicants, they are the ones that made it through for this first class.
They're very special. I think they're going to be a great foundation to build this law school. And I know, I don't think I know. And people might be interested to know, we're now accepting applications to start in January.
That's right.
And we're about one of the only places where you don't have to wait to the fall to start your legal education. And this second cadre will take some classes over the summer and catch up with the Fab 14, and then they'll all graduate together.
I love that.
So anybody that's interested in applying within the sound of my voice and your voice should get in touch with us. Go to the Jacksonville website and figure out how to do it.
That website is www.ju.edu/law. And so the college is currently accepting applications, not just for the upcoming spring semester, those applications are open, but also for the upcoming fall class.
That's right.
And this is an incredible opportunity for anybody considering to get into law school or to pursue a career in law to make the world a better place, hopefully. This is a great opportunity to get into an inaugural law school, a brand new North Florida asset where the teacher to student ratio is incredibly intimate. Everybody has a very close proximity to mentors, guidance, academic instructors, and the opportunity to get to all the legal facilities downtown. It's a 10-minute walk roughly from the courthouse, and there are, you know, so many law firms in town that are already keeping an eye, very close eye, on your students. They are already pitching to you to get access to these young and up-and-coming law school students, right?
I couldn't have put it better than myself, and thank you for that capsule description. But we're really offering legal education, and the Fab 14, we're very shrewd. They're bold, but they're also very shrewd because we're able to deliver to them an education that's, I don't believe, like any other anywhere. And we not only have a phenomenal student-faculty ratio that's very favorable, they're getting excellent attention. Each day, even from the start, they're being infused with practical training and questions about professionalism and how you go about being a lawyer and an ethical lawyer. But also, the secret sauce is the enormous support from the community. The judges, the bench, the clients, the community is reaching out to them in extraordinary ways.
That's right. So these students they do have an uphill battle ahead of them as far as getting through law school, which I've heard isn't the easiest thing to do. But it is very fulfilling at the end of the day. I've spoken to some of them. One of them said that she was the first person to go to law school in her family, and one of her goals is to turn around and help her community and people closest to her in her family with issues regarding the law. law and to help, in a way, protect her community. I spoke to another young gentleman who's from a small rural town here in Florida, and he came to Jacksonville. For him, Jacksonville is the big city, and he's going to school downtown right by the river, and he is getting the best Jacksonville has to offer. And he's a young man who wants to go into the criminal justice system. He's so methodical with the way he speaks. He's so deliberate. He takes time to think with every single word, and I really respected listening to him in our short interview that we had on that inaugural ribbon cutting day. And, you know, we have other students that are from Jacksonville, they're natives, they are from diverse backgrounds. You know, there's one student who didn't do all of the things you would assume a law school student does to prepare, like mock trials and, you know, interning with a bunch of law firms before applications were done. This student is a server in a restaurant, and being in the service industry and a former football player at his other university, coming from that point of view of serving the people, it's already ingrained in him. And you can tell from the way he speaks that he is here with an open mind and a rooted, grounded heart. He knows Jacksonville people. He knows how to serve. And law school is just going to give him an entirely new arsenal of skills to serve the greater community as a whole.
Shafalika, you've just really identified something very special about the people who are interested in becoming lawyers anywhere, really. And they appreciate that the most powerful tool mankind ever has had is a legally trained mind. And it's a tool for a purpose. It's a tool not only for justice and to push towards more equality, but to make a positive difference. And it can be done in any number of ways. I'm extremely excited. You mentioned the sort of different backgrounds and not what you would expect. But basically, there's no one background that, you know, Abe Lincoln was a rail splitter and became one of the greatest lawyers this country has ever had. You know, Nelson Wow. Mandela's background was extraordinarily, you know, modest. And so it's possible for you to, if you work hard and study and apply yourself, make a difference. And it doesn't have to be in any one particular way.
Right.
And right now, I'm really excited about this. I've been, you know, when I at the airport and I meet the young man at the and the young woman at the Enterprise counter. They're interested in applying now that Jacksonville has a law school.
That's so cool.
There are members, star athletes on campus at Jacksonville University who are going to be applying, people from some of the veterans there and people in the nursing program. There's
That's
such
great.
Intersections. So I'm just very happy that people from all backgrounds are interested and they're open to the world of law in making a difference, not only in their own lives, but they know they can not only do well, they can do good.
I agree. And that's really exciting to hear. Jacksonville University is, this College of Law is the fifth college they have opened, and it is just showing the development and improvements that Jacksonville University itself as a whole has grown. I mean, they are here to stay. They're here to make an impact. And this new College of Law will definitely excite and invigorate the downtown. And I'm so glad to hear that there are plenty of people from other backgrounds who want to serve, especially since we are living in a time where the law is really impacting everybody's life right now. I will ask you one quick question about the law school. What has been the biggest surprise for you so far? And I want to hear a little bit about your background so that our listeners get to know you, not just the school.
Well, thank you. The biggest surprise, which is that I did not fully appreciate, but I admire the genuine interest and support coming from the legal profession, the civic leaders, and the entire community. They have been so welcoming, not only to my wife Marla and me, but to our new students, but to the concept. They want it to succeed. They want the law school to succeed. And they love Jacksonville University's role in the community. And so maybe I shouldn't have been surprised, but I think that anyone would be surprised at the level of support, which is phenomenal. And what that means is that for this new law school, which is seeking accreditation and seeking to return the investment in time, effort, and money that the people of Jacksonville have put into this and that the university and our own students and their families have put into it, we want to return that investment with interest. But success is the only option. With the support we have, I'm very confident that we're going to build this school together and that we'll be doing quite a bit that will make a big difference for Jacksonville.
Wow. Well, thank you for saying that. So, Dean, being a founding father, essentially, of a college of law seems to be a really big deal. a lot is riding on your shoulders. Does that feel like pressure to you, or do you have like the chops to make it happen? Where has your journey led you to get you to this point to be able to take on such a huge role?
Well, thank you for that easy question. to be self-effacing. No, I don't think that's the time. Shefalika, there were many, many qualified people that Jacksonville could have chosen, and you can never be fully prepared for one of these jobs. It is, as you said, a very, very big job. I know personally, I feel, as the rest of our faculty do, a big responsibility, not only to provide the highest quality education to our new students, but to make sure that for the community, this law school is very successful. And not just another law school, but unique and the best of what it can do best, and that's what we're shooting for. Now, my preparation, which you may have thought I was trying to avoid, I've been around the barn a couple of times, so I'm very pleased that the university selected me. I've been a law dean before at a really wonderful law school in New York, Brooklyn Law School. I was the president at the same time I was the dean.
Wow.
So one of the great advantages that the Jacksonville College of Law has is that it's part of a vibrant university that's on the move. And now, Shefalika, you know that statistics are often made up on the spot for the purpose of argument, but something like
100%. I'm in the news.
Yeah. 99.7%, that's one of those statistics, but it's pretty good, of our students and of law students around the country go into practice and not academia. And so having a dean who's been very engaged with some of the top, most respected law firms around the United States and the world is very, very useful as well to know what is going on and what's needed in the practice of law. So I have those qualifications. And, you know, my academic credentials are pretty good, too.
Yeah, they are. Let's talk about those, sir. I did a little homework on you, and you spent your undergraduate at Princeton. Pretty cool.
Guilty as charged.
And you are a Rhodes Scholar at Oxford. Then you went to Yale Law School. Like, excuse me, sir, but those are the chops I was talking about.
Well, it's been a good experience. And my father-in-law finally, after all of that, and I went to Oxford after Princeton, and then with Oxford moved on to Yale for my JD preparation. And that was an outstanding, wonderful experience at Yale. A great preparation for my field of public policy. But my father-in-law at some point said, get a real job. And so I pushed forward. But I did have, and this is important, my legal education continued, and I hope that many of our students do as well, with two clerkships, with the Chief Judge Robert Peckham in San Francisco in the Northern District. And then I was one of the earliest law clerks for the great Patricia M. Wald, who became the Chief Judge of the D.C. Circuit at Appellate Court in Washington, D.C., and right next door to our chambers were the chambers of another woman that you've probably heard of, Justice Ginsburg, who was then a D.C. appellate judge. So that was a very important compliment, followed by my work on Capitol Hill, which involves lawmaking. I didn't have a vote, so I wasn't a lawmaker, but I was legal counsel to Senator Edward M. Kennedy and then later Chief of Staff to Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan of New York.
Jeez Louise. Wow. Sir, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Did I say that already? it's an honor. So I believe that...
Your listeners can't see that I'm blushing.
Oh. All right. Moving forward, though, Dean, I'd like to discuss something that's very close and dear to your heart, the Constitution. Obviously, with your incredible academic, professional, and business background, the Constitution of America seems to be very important. And Constitution Day is September 17th. We are here to talk about it. Take it away. I want to hear this passion unfold.
Constitution is incredibly important to Americans. Thank you, and thank your station for helping us perform not only our obligation, but what we want to do, which is to help educate the American public about the Constitution and to celebrate the Constitution, which is important because all of our students and all of our faculty and all the students at Jacksonville and in the community of Jacksonville reflect the wonderful sense of difference and diversity. So what is the one thing? This is rhetorical. You don't have to answer, okay? It's not a law school question. What is the one thing that makes us all Americans despite our differences? What is the one thing we have in common? And the one thing that we have is the United States Constitution. It's the rule book that we all live under. It's the rule book. And this is the one thing that we can rely on and that, despite our differences, gives us the procedures and the rights and the rules. So it's so important for people to understand and celebrate this great document that was became effective in 1789 and was created. And it was an imperfect document, but it's been wonderfully brilliant, and it served us well. We are right now the longest existing in history democracy. And knowing about the Constitution is critical. And if I may go on just for a very short period of time.
Go ahead.
The fundamental concept behind our brilliant, self-correcting, cantilevered system of limited constitutional democracy, limited government in a constitutional democracy, is that it depends and it exists upon the informed consent of the governed. In other words, the people have to put up with it. They agree to give government certain limited rights in order to perform essential duties that people cannot do for themselves, or to look out for others who cannot help themselves. And so if you don't understand it, you may not tolerate or agree with or put up with whatever the government does. You may not know, why should I comply with a rule, a law, whether it's state or federal? And so that is why it's extremely important to know why and how and what the Constitution says. And so that's why we have this legal obligation, as a law school and the university does too, as do other public institutions, to at least once a year, but then systematically throughout the year, to help the public understand how the system of constitutional government and justice is supposed to work. And that's what we're doing, and you're providing us with a wonderful platform to do that.
Well, I think it is very important, and it's something that I know Floridians are very passionate about as well. There's always something more to learn when it comes to the Constitution. And I was looking into some of the history of it, and I believe it was like 1787 when the Constitutional Congress, they were meeting in Philadelphia trying to discuss the terms to agree upon. And my sister's in Philadelphia, and I remember visiting the Liberty Bell and the Constitution Hall with her. And I just did a little homework and realized that around that time when the Constitution was being written, the Articles of, what was it, Confederacy?
The Articles of Confederation had failed.
Right. They were struggling with it. And Benjamin Franklin, who was 80-ish, 81 at the time, I think, he had a representative speak on his behalf. And he discussed that, you know, this Constitution document that we have so far, it may not be completely perfect, but it is so much better than what we've had before. And it needs to get done. We need to sign it. We need to get this into law. We need to become what we came here to do when we broke away from Europe. And we need to come here and keep this nation of, it was just a few states at that time, to build the union, to make it stronger. So to me, the Constitution is a beautiful example of the American spirit, the working progress, and the fact that the adaptability to change when something isn't working, like the Articles of Confederation. The Constitution stepped in and laid down a document that, like you said, has been over 200 years old now, and it's, we're one of the oldest democracies that has an actual constitution.
You beautifully described the essence of the Constitution. So I think you have a great future, you know, as a law student, if you're interested. Someday maybe we'll have evening classes that you can take.
Yeah, I can do both.
But what was terrific is you discussed, first of all, why it was critical to birthing this new nation. We had won the Revolution, the Treaty of Paris, I believe it was 1783. The Articles of Confederation were a failure. We could have, after launching, fallen back to earth, and we didn't, because these very smart, shrewd people were able to regroup. And so that's what the Constitution has done as well. But what you grasped, which was so perceptive, is that the Constitution is a dynamic, living, evolving thing. It's not a static piece of paper in the book, in a drawer someplace, collecting dust. And we disagree over what it means. It doesn't. It's really small. I carry around. You can see right here. This, and I gave you one today.
Yeah, a little small pocket Constitution.
Yeah, it's just a couple of inches by a couple of inches, and it's in all the words of it are fit in sort of an eighth of an inch thick little volume.
Right.
And those words can be debated, but they have the flexibility of growing. So when it was founded, and you look at the first three words, they're the most important. It tells you a lot of what you need to know. Mm-hmm. We the people. So, but then who are the people? And when it
exactly.
started, you know, it wasn't until the 14th Amendment, the 13th and 14th Amendments that people of color were really included. It wasn't until the 19th Amendment gave women the right to vote, but not all women were able to vote at that time, and
exactly.
that's still taken time. So it's been an imperfect but evolving document. And by the way, it's never just a consistent trajectory up. There's backsliding and steps and so on, and it's never perfect. But the second words are extremely helpful because they remind us of what the mission towards justice is and the endless fight to create ripples of hope. So the next words says, in order to form a more perfect union. So it's we the people of the United States, reflecting in the very first words the importance of states like Florida, and in order to form a more perfect union, and then it goes on. So the words themselves are instructive and very inspiring for people to read. And we try, you know, we struggle, but they mean a lot.
They do. And I love that. Thank you for being so passionate about this, because it gave me an opportunity to return to what I feel is the American spirit, which to me, the American spirit is more important than just having an American dream. It's the spirit of our country. Not only are we trying to create a more perfect union in 2022, but the next few words of the Constitution discuss establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. So this first paragraph, it's phenomenal. I'm so glad as a wordsmith that you brought up the actual language. And as part of the purpose of discussing Constitution Day, it's about getting back to the basics and the essence of the language used. They chose these words back in 1780-something. You know, they chose these words very deliberately. And what they were trying to establish had to be different. They had already exhausted all of their options in Europe before they came here. I think that the American spirit and the exact language is something that all Americans can relish and connect to in their own lives in the modern era. I like that you mentioned that the Constitution is also dynamic, where it does also shift. It can go forward. It can take a step backwards. It can get kind of stalled out on certain growth opportunities within it. And it's a living document.
Well, you know, Thomas Jefferson once said in another context, but it applies here, that to require us to conform to the narrow ways that this language was applied in much different times going forward would be like making a grown man wear the same suit and clothes that he wore as a small boy. And so we all collectively, and it's difficult to agree, need to understand how the basic values are consistent unless values change. The basic principles, the words that you read are very important because what they also convey is that government is supposed to be limited. So what those words that you mentioned, to ensure establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide the common defense, promote the general welfare and the blessing of liberty, they enumerate and they list what government is asked to do, but not more. In other words, it's not government is not to do everything, and it's so very limited. And then the rest of the Constitution are how is our government set up to do those things. You know, Article 1 is about the legislature, the people's branch, which is the most important. Article 2 is the executive branch, the presidency. And then the third is the judiciary. And then there's the 27 amendments afterwards, the first 10 in the Bill of Rights, which was passed concurrently. So these words were, the initial words in the Bill of Rights were written and concluded and agreed upon in 1987. Nine states had to ratify for it to become real. The ninth state ratified in 1788, and then the Constitution became effective in 1789.
What's the purpose, really, of observing Constitution Day?
Well, the purpose is to better educate the public. It's, first of all, to appreciate and celebrate and remind ourselves of what brings us all together. With us, it's important for us to know and to understand, and as we had a discussion before this session started, we're acutely aware that especially among young people, they don't know or understand enough about our Constitution and the justice system. And so the Constitution Day observance is part of a responsibility that we have as educators to help the public understand, including young people, what the Constitution means. It's very important because, again, without that understanding, you cannot give informed consent to the government. And so the whole system can tumble like a house of cards.
I really think that's a strong note for us to end our conversation on. Informed consent given to the government. If we as the people, we the people of the United States, don't know our own Constitution, our founding document, our living, breathing, dynamic document, then what are we headed towards? A house of cards falling or a stronger, more perfect union? That's up
Shefalica,
to us.
A plus, full marks.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much, Dean Allard, for joining me today on Jack's Journal. Thank you so much for your time, Dean. It's been a pleasure.
It's been an important privilege to have this opportunity, and thank you very much.
And thank you all for listening. Jack's Journal is brought to you by 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. We'll see you next weekend with another episode of Jack's Journal.
You've been listening to Jack's Journal, a production of News 104.5 WOKV.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join MyLowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's. We help. You save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.